Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear a portion of the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. But others said, he is Elijah. And others said, he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. This is the gospel of the Lord, and this is our text. You may be seated. A few short weeks ago, we celebrated the nativity of John the Baptist last Sunday in June. This morning, we are reminded of how John, after his ministry and as a result of his ministry of preparation, lost his life in service to the Lord. The word of the Lord is living and active, powerful than any double-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. No creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So writes the author of the letter to the Hebrews by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And that can indeed be intimidating as we consider our sins of the past and our sins of the present. But because of the double edge, there is reason for a present hope and for our future, as it cuts through our hearts, wounding us in order to give us life through repentance and forgiveness, God's grace. So if we understand that word of God rightly divided, law and gospel, we understand that the law kills and the gospel gives us life by grace, God's grace for Christ's sake. God's word gives what it promises. And so, what side of the sword do you respond to, and how do you respond? There are a couple of Bible passages in which I find great comfort. One from the 103rd Psalm. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. So consider how far the east is from the west, if indeed you can. And I think that's the point. And from the prophet Jeremiah, who speaks God's word of the new covenant in chapter 31, where he writes, no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. The writer of the letter to the Hebrews also quotes this passage in his letter. The Lord remembers our sin that he forgives no more. But what about us? What about you? Do you have trouble forgetting your sins of the past? How many times do you need to confess that sin? The Lord doesn't need you to remind him, yet he reminds you that he remembers them no more, while the evil one whispers in your ear, are you sure that sin can ever be forgiven? Then he urges you to consider that it really doesn't matter. It's only sin in other people's eyes. It may not be sin in yours. Nevertheless, the law is powerful to convict us. We all have regrets, don't we? Some of those regrets might be light in nature. Oh, if I had tried to do that when I was younger and had the ability, or if only I'd taken better care of myself when I was younger. other regrets might be a little more dark and maybe even a little more haunting. Oh, why did I do that when I was younger? Why did I treat her that way? Or why was I so selfish that I failed so horribly in my relationships with my siblings, with my spouse, with my parents? Have you been carrying some regrets with you for a long time now? Are there incidents in your past that you just cannot seem to turn loose of and are too ashamed to share? Are there some actions you are presently involved with right now that you already know you will regret, that you will regret having done them, some conversation you will regret ever having, such as the power of sin, and our consciences respond to sin and the father of lies would have us perpetually regretting what we have done instead of rejoicing in what God has done for us in Christ Jesus, which is power unto salvation for all who believe. This morning we consider a dark text, one that reflects on how twisted and perverted someone can become because of anger, wanting to get even. Our text invites us to consider King Herod and his actions and his conscience in light of hearing God's word. It is important for us to note that our text calls Herod king, and that is indeed how he was viewed in Judea, though he was never given that title by Rome, the center of power in the world at that time. You see, Herod was Rome's puppet in Jerusalem and nothing more, yet he abused the power that had been given to him. Herod liked listening to John the Baptist, and John the Baptist liked speaking the word of God. This figure, John, who seemed to be from the past, and indeed the last Old Testament prophet, if you will, had revelations about the future and preached repentance and the forgiveness of sins. He was the fulfillment of the words of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, the voice of one calling in the wilderness, and he intrigued Herod, though John had addressed Herod's dark side by calling him out for marrying his brother Philip's wife. Herod delighted in being able to be hospitable and hosting a banquet then to celebrate his birthday, and having the daughter of Herodias dance publicly before his guest, and in making a promise to her that he could never keep, offering to her up to half a kingdom that truly wasn't his kingdom to offer, yet he took great pride in being able to do these things. I'm sure that you've done likewise, made a promise you could not keep because it wasn't yours to promise, or just because you don't keep your promises. Maybe you had good intentions, but there's an expression about a road and good intentions. Herod probably didn't see it coming, and at the same time, he certainly was not going to fail to follow through on his word given to his wife Herodias' daughter. She asked for John's head on a platter. Imagine. Even though, as our text relates, Herod was exceedingly sorry, he had his pride and reputation to think about. And sometimes our pride and our reputation are most important. Because of his promise, he had John the Baptist beheaded and delivered his head on a platter to Herodias' daughter. Herod's delight in the extraordinary, his pleasure, his ambition, and his promises filled his life with haunting sorrow, a disturbed conscience, and we pick up on that in our text for today as Herod considers that Jesus that he's hearing about is indeed John raised from the dead. Certainly this is a dark text as it relates a painfully regretful event. We certainly can look with contempt upon Herod for what he did to John, whose words to both Herod and Herodias were something that they could not accept. They were not willing to hear. They closed their ears to them. He called them to repentance, and that was not to be. They didn't think they needed to, and they weren't about to. Our text relates that Herodias had a grudge because John had said to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Since Herod feared John, considering him holy and righteous, he would not comply with her demand to have him put to death, which he could do. He represented Rome. So as the table is turned on Herod by Herodias, he is left to honor his promise made to his stepdaughter. That action makes our errors seem like minor infractions, not even worthy of mention. Yet God's judgment is clear, it's crystal clear. All sin is worthy of damnation in his sight. Our sin makes us objects of God's wrath. There are none which are excusable, though we always have a myriad of excuses for our sinful action. We may not live in palaces, we may not host extravagant banquets or make outlandish promises, but we too can be troubled by memories of our sin. Sin has a way of entering into the most humble home, the most holy environment, and turning on us, turning our lives upside down, tormenting our consciences. It happens, and it happens more times than we would like for it to happen. Regrets, anyone? We can carry those regrets well into the future. Each sin, no matter how small from our worldly perspective, seeks to silence God's word, which is what Herodias manipulated Herod to do with John. She wanted him shut up. She didn't want to hear it anymore. We cannot, nor should we ever, minimize what sin is in our relationship to Almighty God. As our Lord explains in the Sermon on the Mount, anger with one's neighbor is a sin against God's commandment, don't murder. Lusting in all of its forms, and there are many in today's culture, as there always has been, is a sin against God's command not to commit adultery. While we might come to church on Sunday and listen to God's word with pleasure, when we fail to respond to that word, to put God's word into action, to live according to God's will, we silence God's prophets, so to speak. Such sin makes this world a troubled place and brings about regrets at all levels, either during or after the fact, though sometimes only when there are real and experienced consequences. Such is. If there are no consequences, then we got away with it, right? Such is the hardening of the heart. Nevertheless, our memories can be convicting. Our sins haunt us as we recall that moment of weakness in our past, that one word we spoke that we cannot take back, that one day we lost our temper, lost our respect, lost our innocence, lost our way, lost our sensibility and our sense of honor. And thereby we stand convicted as we consider our place before a holy God who demands the very same thing of us. Yet we do not despair. For today, Mark offers us a glimpse of an even more extraordinary story. Notice how Mark sets the past sin of Herod within the context of the present ministry of Jesus. That's the way our text begins, because word has gotten out about what Jesus is doing and about what his disciples are doing in his name. Preceding our text, Jesus had preached at his hometown synagogue, gone from village to village teaching, and then sent out his disciples two by two with authority over evil spirits. Herod is hearing what is happening in the name of Jesus. With that one small reference, Mark leads us into something as big as the salvation of the world. Mark surrounds the story of Herod's extraordinary sin with an even greater story of extraordinary love, grace, and mercy found in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and found in Him alone. Jesus has sent His disciples out to proclaim His word and to cast out demons. He called them for this very purpose. So too is the exorcism of the skeletons in our closets. Sometimes we like to go back and hang them back in there, though, don't we? The disciples and all who have shared their teachings ever since have entered into the confused and troubled world with a life-giving word, which is the gospel. While Herod stands transfixed in his troubled memories, Jesus is transforming the world with His extraordinary love. For in Him, God is remembering His promises made for all. I will remember your sins no more. Jesus enters our troubled world and our pasts and challenges us with a call to repentance, changes us through the proclamation of eternal salvation, and transforms us by His life, death, and His resurrection into a people who remember God's mercy and rejoice in His eternal love, which clearly relates to us that He remembers our sins no more and promises us through His word spoken through Jesus and recorded by the evangelists and apostles that presently, even now, we are given hope for an eternal future in God's presence. While Herod feared that John the Baptist, whom he had killed, had risen, we rejoice that God raised the one who bore our sins, the one who was crucified, the one whom we crucified, and through Him gives us forgiveness and everlasting life. In Jesus, we see the wonder of God's mercy, whose great love for us forgives us our sins and remembers them no more. As far as the east is from the west, He's taken them. God the Father sends His Son for our salvation. God the Son willingly endures eternal punishment for our sin and rises to send His Spirit to bring us life and to lead us in all righteousness. God the Holy Spirit works through God's word to turn us from sin, to bring us to Christ, and to awaken us, or to awaken in us, a memory of salvation, and know today the hope of eternal life that overcomes all of our regrets. Amen. May this peace of God, which transforms our human understanding, may it guard our hearts and guard our minds in faith in Christ Jesus, the life everlasting. Amen. Amen.